It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, January 5th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Can police look at what's on your cell phone without a warrant? The California Supreme Court, in a 5-2 decision this week, said, yeah, they can. Your phone, texts, emails, whatever is on there is fair game. It's a move that could have a big impact on issues of privacy and search and seizure. Kate Moser is with The Recorder, a legal newspaper in San Francisco. Kate, tell us about this case.
A sheriff's deputy arrested a guy after watching what he thought was a drug deal go down in the backseat of his car. He brought him in, and the guy denied knowing anything about the drug deal. So the sheriff's deputy looked at his cell phone and saw a text message that had to do with the drug deal. And when confronted with that, the guy said, you know, acknowledged being involved in the drug deal. So the question was basically, was the search of the text message allowed? The trial court and the court of appeal both said that the search of the text message was proper. And the high court, the Supreme Court, agreed and said that searching cell phones is okay if they're found on the person when the person is arrested.
That's Kate Moser. The California court leaned on a 1976 U.S. Supreme Court decision that said you don't need a warrant to search a pack of cigarettes if they're on a person. But if you want to search a suitcase, you do need a warrant. A cell phone, the California court said, is more like a pack of smokes than it is like a suitcase. Jeffrey Rosen is with George Washington University's law school. He says this issue isn't new.
There have been other cases, but this is an extremely interesting and significant ruling on a question that's divided the lower courts and may well be heading up to the Supreme Court. Essentially, some courts have held, like the California court, that you don't need a warrant to search a cell phone. Several other courts in Ohio and San Francisco have disagreed. And it really just raises this profound question of what is our informational privacy in an age when most of us carry all our data around on our persons? Should our PDAs and BlackBerries and iPhones be treated just like the crumpled cigarette packages that the Supreme Court has said can be searched incident to arrest because they might hide weapons? Or on the contrary, are these the kind of diaries that the framers of the Constitution were profoundly interested in protecting, and should you need some kind of warrant to search them?
So does it just come down to this physical proximity of something that is in my pocket versus something that is adjacent to me or you know, far away from me that might also be mine?
That's exactly what the California court held. They said anything in physical proximity should be treated as fair game. But the other courts have said this just reflects a complete willful refusal to engage the reality of the way we live our daily lives. There's a big difference between the personal privacy interests that are indeed diminished when you're arrested and your informational privacy interests, which are not diminished. And really, a concern about general warrants, which allowed the police to rummage through people's diaries, was the core concern that the framers of the Fourth Amendment, which regulates unreasonable searches and seizures, were determined to prohibit. And the fear is that this ruling, along with recent rulings allowing broad computer searches without very particularized warrants, may mean that we have no privacy in our data. And that's why this is so ripe for some kind of Supreme Court resolution.
Another story we're following at MarketplaceTech.org, Amazon will have a version of its Kindle electronic book reader for Android and Windows-based tablet computers. Microsoft is set to unveil Windows tablets at this week's Consumer Electronics Show, possibly along with a Microsoft TV set-top box like Apple and Google have. We'll have updates from that trade show on our website. Yesterday, we told you about how robot maids were making us think the age of the Jetsons may be upon us. Today's Harbinger comes from a different show. The Office. There was an episode a while back where Ryan, the cocky hipster in The Office, has a new business idea.
Woof is a site that I'm launching to be the last word in social networking. For just $12.99 a month, Woof links up all your communication portals so you are always within reach. I just sent myself a Woof.
Ryan, you have a Woof on line one.
Thank you, Aaron.
Well, Woof has come true. A company called Pixelpipe lets you update all social media sites from one location. Everything from Facebook and Flickr to Friendster and Orkut. Hey, maybe you're into Orkut. It's perfect when you want the whole world to know all the important things you have to say, but you don't want to be bothered traveling all over the web to say it. Technology. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.